powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we
go now. I'm going to go ahead and call this the biggest, maybe best, in that we're all heated and talking about it for hours and hours and hours after the fact, fight of MLB's season, Bump. And before we even talk about it, Curtis, I feel like I'm in too good of a mood. I've had a coffee.
Yeah.
I woke up. The sun naturally woke me up. I'm feeling refreshed. We had donuts this morning, and I need to be in a mood to talk about a fight.
You need some rage?
Let's get some mood music for this fight we're going to talk about. There we go.
Now it's time to get in the cage.
Yeah! That's
now
what I'm
talking
about.
Now sit down and shut up, because it's time to get in the cage.
All right. Now I'm ready. Let's talk about it. Eric Swanson. Nothing wrong the night before, throwing high and inside to Mike Trout. Had been off on a lot of his pitches all night long, but the Angels are mad. They are just fuming, Bump. Fuming. Mike Trout, after the game, clearly upset about it. He says, if you can't pitch inside, don't pitch inside, via MLB.com. If you're going to hit me in the ribs, don't hit me in the head. I don't know if that was the intent, but anything at the head, you don't do that. So the Angels are already heading into this game, Bump, heading into that finale, feeling like they're ready to do something. And yet, despite the fact that the night before there was enough talk to where even reporters thought something could happen today, umps did not issue a warning to either team. Strike number one.
First off, Mike Trout, I feel like I need to call him Michael in this moment. Michael, calm down, Michael. Okay,
Michael.
It was the ninth inning. Swanson was not trying to do it on purpose. They're trying to win ball games. They're fighting to get back into the playoff hunt. Why would they do that in that situation? Baseball is such a situational game. You would think arguably the greatest player in the game right now would understand that and say, all right, it might have gotten away from him. Now let's focus on these umps. So what you're saying is these umps did no homework before the game.
That is correct.
They just showed up maybe, what time was the game? 1 o'clock?
They
1 o'clock
showed
game.
Up a couple minutes before, and they were like, anything we should know? No? All right, let's get this thing rolling.
No notes? Okay, here
no
we go. And it was a sub ump. It wasn't even like a real ump. It was a minor league ump. Well, he's a real ump. Let me not disrespect. He's going through the process. But it was a fill-in ump. So you got a fill-in ump who didn't do his homework, and when arguably the greatest player in the game – the night before, it's angry. Like,
right.
you got to take these notes and know what you're getting into.
So then Phil Nevin, a manager, and sends in an opener. Strike two.
Come on.
You already know what's going to happen here. He doesn't want to get his starter in trouble. You already know what they're planning. He sent in a fall guy to start this game. You knew what was coming, Bump.
Yeah, you knew what was coming. You don't just make that move. You hear, I think we have sound with JP, we'll probably hear. He says, look, yeah, we know what was going down. We know that you sent this young man in to take the fall for the Angels. And once you get after Julio and you miss him, okay, all right, you've made your point. Let's move along. No, sir. You wait until Winker gets up there and gets Winker right in the glute. He low-key ate that.
Yes.
I tweeted last night, I go, your squat game must be on point, Winker, because you ate that.
So after saying the night before, hey, don't hit me in the head. That's not okay. That's what Mike Trout said. The Angels throw at Julio's head. We already decided, Curtis and I, Bump, and take a listen, and also everyone listening, this might be the angriest I've ever heard Rick Riz.
Lance ready. Here's the windup and the pitch, and it's in behind Julio Rodriguez. Holy smokes, and I'm telling you, that was intentional. That was intentional. Lorenzen hitting Upton, not intentional. Eric Swanson throwing high and tight to Mike Trout last night, not intentional. That was intentional. Now the umpires are getting together. The Mariners' best player right now, Ty Francis, out of the lineup on the injured list. And that pitch was thrown behind Julio Rodriguez, and that was wrong because you could really hurt somebody right there. That was ridiculous.
Wentz got to be out of the game.
He's got to go.
And yet he did not go. So
have either of you ever heard Rick Riz with that
no
kind of tone in his voice?
No,
never.
I have not.
Never.
I have not. He was heated. So
it's like when Dad pulled over the car. It's like, uh-oh.
We will turn this game off. So at this point, here's some things you need to know. Number one, Wentz was not ejected. Number two, warnings were issued. though it was the first time in the game. It's a little too late for that. And number three, the Angels are not done. Any thoughts so far, Bump, before we continue the saga?
Once Riz gets that, you know, Riz has one of the coolest voices in all of sports, right? When you start to hear him get amped up, you know something was wrong. Quick story, I was in the car with my wife listening to the game, and I couldn't really hear what was going on. I just heard Riz's tone. I'm like, everybody shut up. Let me hear what's going down right now.
It's like a conversation happening. Kids, everyone stop. Everyone stop talking right now, okay? We need to pay attention. So the Angels aren't done, and in part because, yeah, they got Julio, but maybe they felt like they weren't even enough. So then you get a Winker's now infamous at-bat.
Here's the pitch, and it's inside, and that hits Winker. And Andrew Wants hits him, and Wants has to go, and so does Phil Nevin. Winker walking slowly out in front of home plate, and now he's getting chirped at by the Angel players. Winker going over toward the dugout, and both benches are emptying. Winker going to the Angels dugout. He is right in there. They're starting to throw punches. Holy smokes, we got a full melee going on in the on-deck circle. Everybody throwing punches. Angels out there, Mariners out there. And that was inside. It hit Winker. Winker had a few words with Stassi, walked over to the dugout, and now the umpires have their hands full trying to separate guys. Holy smokes, we have a melee in the on-deck circle. Guys are still fighting one another. They're trying to separate players in the middle of the scrum, but this is one of the worst fights we have seen in a long, long time.
This was the most insane fight I've seen. The umps could have at least cooled this. It was wildly irresponsible to not issue warnings before a game when everyone knew what was happening.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know what was happening, you knew once Nevin sent in an opener what was happening. And if you didn't know what was happening then, you knew once that opener hit Julio what was happening. And if you still didn't know what was happening because you are that dense, you knew it the second Winker was hit. And by then, it was too late.
And here's the thing about Winker, too. He's such in control and knowing what's going down. He doesn't even go after the pitcher. First thing he does, he's talking to the ump. He's looking at the dugout because he knows this young man was sitting here to do one job. It's not really his fault. He has to do this. He's looking at the dugout. Then once the dugout starts chirping, he goes, "What's good?" And then what I love about Winker, he goes over there by himself. He does not wait for the squad to get behind him. He is over there. And then I see my boy JP representing Long Beach City in there throwing punches. It was, we don't condone violence, but that stuff happens.
Can I just say one thing that maybe nothing Jesse Winker has done up until this moment has endeared him to Mariners fans as much as this. I swear, it's not that he hasn't had good moments. He has underperformed overall compared to fan expectations. This might be the best thing to happen to Jesse Winker's career as a Mariner so far. And I know that sounds ridiculous, and I know there are some people listening that are like, "I didn't like fighting." I don't care. I am telling you right now, Jesse Winker made more fans last night or yesterday during that game than he has through any other Mariners game this year.
That was his initiation.
That's
right?
Exactly what it was.
And he was playing good baseball prior to that, too. So he was playing good baseball.
He had a little bit of a turnaround.
And he got his initiation. Winker, you are officially a Mariner, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you.
And not only that, but there's a video of Jesse Winker getting in Phil Nevin's face, and someone was trying. I'm waiting for the John Boy video, but someone was trying to translate it because you can kind of hear it a little bit, and they said that he's getting in his face defending Julio.
Yeah.
Julio being like, "He's just a kid. What are you doing?" Now, it is telling that the Mariners that the Angels, in retaliation for Mike Trout getting hit, decide we're going to go after your best player. That best player that they choose is 21-year-old Julio Rodriguez. By the way, that pitcher said, "I was pretty amped up for my first start. That first one just got away from me." Did it? I don't know about that one. But it is telling that they went after Julio. Jesse Winker not just mad about getting hit, mad about them going after Julio, getting in the Angels' face about going after Julio. That's being a good teammate. That's being a leader. I don't know that Jesse Winker has had a chance to show a ton of that this year, but in that moment, he did. I don't care if you condone violence or not. That was being a good teammate.
Yeah, you protect your little bro, especially the little bro who's balling right now.
That's
who
right.
is in the running for Rookie of the Year. So, no, I appreciate that. What I don't appreciate, if Angels, if you want to be the tough guys, right, if you want to send out an opener, make all these moves and throw at Julio, then throw at Winker, don't tuck your tail when you're called out and say, "Oh, things like that happen." Man, shut your face. You know, dang well what was going down. Just admit it. We all know that these type of things happen in baseball. But for you to be a tough guy and then tuck your tail when the cameras are on, I just don't agree with that.
That's exactly what the Angels did. Mike Trout the night before, don't do that. I'm, you know, really upset. Where was Mike Trout during that fight?
Sitting.
Mike Trout nowhere. Chilling. Mike Trout in the back just letting like bench players and closers and injured guys. Anthony Rendon going out there with one hand shoving Jesse Winker. You know who is in the fight for the Mariners? The guys who got Julio Rodriguez in there. I mean, again, probably not a good idea. All three of those guys got ejected. They're probably going to get suspended. But either way, Mike Trout, where were you, man?
Mike Trout.
Letting other people do your fighting here.
Drinking
do your bidding.
A protein shake.
That's exactly
or something
what
like
he
that.
Was. He was out there doing neck exercises, just like benching. Like, it's just not in there. And you know what? In the end, it was I don't want to say smart move, a tactful decision for the Angels to not let those guys get involved. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a crowd of baseball fans that are looking down their nose a little bit saying, I don't know, I think we know who the tougher team was in this one.
Service was out there. Service walked away from the scrum. He had one side of his jersey untucked. He had his right leg with dirt all up the side of it. Like, old man Service was in there. Yet Trout and Ohtani were sitting back saying, like, nah, I make too much money for this.
That's exactly what it was. Did anyone else see, I think it was Munoz, this like older bench coach like hanging onto him, and Andres Munoz was like dragging him on the ground.
What's with these old coaches in baseball getting in the middle
of
this?
Let me tell you what, if you are wearing Oakleys, you are in the middle of that fight. That's what that fight was last night. The larger your Oakleys are, the more punches you're throwing.
JP's got some big sunglasses,
and
so
he
obviously
throwing punches.
He was throwing a lot of punches. So I guess that theory kind of checks
out. I'll tell you that right now. Phil Nevin was heated. What do you think of Phil Nevin in this entire instance, Bump?
Phil Nevin. Nevin. Like you with your open manager? Are you really the skipper? Like, you are the leader of this organization right now, right? It's your job to put these men in position to succeed. You put this young pitcher in position to fail right now. You called him up and said, look, you're going to be the fall guy for us. And then when asked about it, he goes, oh, when you play teams this many amount of times, things like this happen. I'm pretty sure the Mariners have had plenty of series where they see a team several times within a couple months and nothing like this happens. The main thing I wanted to hear from him, just own it. Yeah, we didn't like it. We thought he threw inside against Mike Trout, so we were going to send a message. Just say that. The fact that you're backpedaling says a lot about your leadership.
Backpedaling, but also, all right, you went to Julio. Done. Done and done.
Did it.
But it wasn't enough. So you're going to go a Winker?
Yeah.
Like now at this point, because you know you've gotten away with it, because you know that this ump crew is maybe not paying as close attention, maybe not as clued into what's happening as would be a more experienced crew or whatever. I'm not sure if it was, I think the main guy was he a stand-in or substitute ump?
Yeah.
So you're taking advantage of the moment. Like, you got your retribution, even though most Mariners fans would say that Swanson had been missing and he was just high and inside rather than actually going at Trout. I think the Angels were thinking, well, Mike Trout dominated you guys in that series. Why would you not? Of course you're throwing at him.
Right.
Not understanding that in that moment, the Mariners aren't thinking about you, Angels. I know that you are so obsessed with yourselves, even though you haven't found success with two of the best players in baseball, which, like, if we're going to talk about organizational failures, the Mariners are going to point at ourselves and we're going to talk about it, but at least we're honest with ourselves.
Right.
The Angels just haven't been. You have two of the best players in baseball and you can't take advantage of it. Maybe you should think about yourself more. But instead, they're assuming that the Mariners are thinking about the Angels. The Mariners in that moment are not thinking about winning.
Heck,
because that's
man.
The tying run with Ohtani on deck. Not thinking about winning. They're just thinking about getting back at Mike Trout.
Man, the Mariners are thinking about winning six in a row. The Mariners are thinking about, look, man, we're chasing this 500, right? We're so close. We're starting to get things together. Winker's finally coming along. We got Julio balling. Cal at the bottom of the lineup is going. Our pitchers haven't given up starting pitchers more than 3 runs in 24 starts. They ain't thinking about you, Angels. You're just a jersey right now. I know Mike Trout has an ego, and he should have an ego. He's one of the best in
that's
the game.
Exactly right.
But end of the day, you are a jersey. You are a team that's in the way, and the Mariners had a chance to extend a win streak. That's what it was all about.
A final thing. We're going to talk about the potential impact of suspensions coming up in 15 minutes. We haven't heard any news on that yet. We'll let you know the second we do. But one final thing is that Justin Upton was plunked. He was hit in the head, actually, in a series against the Angels. According to Jen Mueller, who we'll also talk with today, multiple Angels players reached out to the Mariners and were like, to Upton, hey, it was unintentional. We're really sorry. That was not on purpose. But then didn't extend the same I don't know, understanding, faith, or whatever into the Mariners.
Yeah, it's ugly look. Bad look.
Bad look. Yeah. All right. We're going to get back to this in 15 minutes. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one. Other Mariner news this weekend. Ty France placed on the injured list with a left elbow sprain. And unfortunately, there's no timetable yet on his return. What's the real headline?
Mariners sure couldn't use some suspensions right now. It's not great. Not great timing.
Not looking good. You got JP's going to be gone. Julio, France, JP. That's 1 through 4 right there. That's the meat of your lineup. They're going to be gone. So some guys going to be called up and have to ball out. Good luck.
Again, we're going to talk about which suspensions could be coming down. Obviously, the three ejected, three of your first four hitters. You've still got Suarez. And then otherwise, you're looking at a lineup that, should those guys be out for an extended period of time.
Who?
Some memorable. That's exactly what it's going to be. That's exactly. It's who's that guy? Who let this guy in here?
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two. Kyrie Irving has now been granted permission by the Brooklyn Nets to seek out sign-and-trade offers from other teams. Kevin Durant has not been notified of this, unfortunately. What's the real headline?
Said other teams. That's okay. That's okay. Kyrie, obviously incredibly talented, but is there going to be a lot of traction there, Bump?
I don't think so, man. I think the teams are saying exactly what you said. Nah, we're good. We're good. Thanks for the offer, but we're okay. The thing with Kyrie is, there's no denying who he is as a basketball player. One of the best ball handlers of all time. But when it comes to team sports, it's more than just what you bring to the table on the court. If you're a distraction, if you're not there to work, if you're not fully invested, these owners, these GMs, these coaches are not going to want to take a chance on you. That's where he is right now. His only hope is a shirt I'm rocking right now. The LA Lakers, and I don't want him.
No, why don't you want him? Because to think about what he could really do. Like, I need you to make an argument, Bump, just in this moment. Find it within yourself. I need to hear an argument for Kyrie on the Lakers.
For Kyrie.
I know you can do it.
I get for Kyrie, right? Him and LeBron brought something to Cleveland that's never been there before when it comes to, I don't know how the Cavs won. No, that was their first championship, right? There is some chemistry there. Him and LeBron, they've had their good times, their bad times. If there is one person who can have some type of influence over him, it has to be big brother LeBron. And when he is available, when he's locked in, he's a top 10, 12 player in the NBA. But is he going to be locked in? Is he going to be there every day? Those are my concerns. But if he is on the Lakers and LeBron can control him, you never know. Him, LeBron, AD, I mean, start with those three. You got a shot.
I do think the Lakers are the most likely landing spot. Curtis, you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got the most dramatic franchise, one of the most dramatic players in the NBA. It's a marriage made in divorce court. And
this is a TV divorce if I've ever
absolutely.
Seen one.
This will be the next season of, what's that show, Winning Time on Showtime about the Lakers. I find it interesting how Kyrie left LeBron at the end of LeBron's tenure in Cleveland. And now he wants to rejoin. I mean, it's just like maybe the grass isn't so green on the other side. Maybe he had a good thing going with LeBron, Kyrie. Because he's tried it with Durant. Hasn't worked. Tried it with James Harden. That didn't work. Tried it in Boston with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Those guys got to an NBA Finals without him. Maybe he had something good in LeBron, and you just didn't recognize it.
Kyrie needs to text LeBron, "It wasn't you, it was me." Let's do this again.
Try to apologize now. What's been the biggest waste of a collection of talent in the NBA in recent years outside of the Brooklyn Nets?
I was going to go Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn Nets are the biggest. I mean, prior
to...
I was going to say, I think that some people were looking prior to the Lakers' most recent season saying, oh, you got all these guys.
Well,
in hindsight, it was very obvious that was never going to... Yeah, go ahead.
If we're going to go a little further back.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City.
Ooh, love that.
Three MVPs on that roster. Mm. Only made to one NBA Finals, didn't win it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's it right there.
You love to see it.
You love it.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. We've got a new champion in the NHL for the first time in a few seasons. Colorado Avalanche hoisting the Stanley Cup.
5 seconds to go.
The Avs dethroned the Lightning, winning that series 4-2. What's the real headline?
Unfortunately, this is the closest Russell Wilson will get to another title. Now, look, just my luck, knock on wood, Russell Wilson is going to win another. Like, of course, now that I've spoken it into existence with my headline. That being said, too easy. Whenever I see Colorado mentioned, it's just too easy. The joke is right there.
Yeah, you got to go with Russell. And I agree. I don't think Russ is going to get another one, at least not within the next 2 years. But big ups to the Avalanche. Good for them. The beard game in hockey is strong.
Yes.
Curtis, you fit right in.
Thank you.
Unfortunately,
you fit right in.
The tooth game is not.
Yeah, I've got a full set. I'll stick with the beard. I like that portion of it. How about Corey Perry of the Tampa Bay Lightning? Third year in a row, he is on the losing team in the Stanley Cup Finals. Lost with Dallas in 2020, Montreal in 2021, and Tampa Bay, the team that had won two straight. He joins them this year thinking maybe this is,
do we think it's
this
him?
Is how he can get a ring.
Now, because there's a flip side. Number one, you've been to 3 Stanley Cup Finals, which is more than a lot of players can say over their careers. On the flip side, does anything hurt more than losing when you've gone that far?
Nah. Holler at Jerry West. He knows all about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when you have to start thinking, like, what did I do? What could I have done differently? Sometimes it's just bad luck, but it's still good luck. You're in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, good for you.
He does have a ring, though. He won a Stanley Cup earlier in his career with the Anaheim Ducks. So it's not like he...
Winning one has, makes it easier.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's good.
But still, I believe this is the first time in American professional sports that somebody has lost 3 straight championship series with 3 different teams.
I mean, it's almost impressive, frankly. But now there's going to be teams that are like, oof. Listen,
is it a curse to have him on your roster or a blessing? If you're the Kraken, I mean, making the Stanley Cup Finals in year 2,
that'd be amazing. Be nice. I think the Kraken should
Corey Perry here. Let's
make a move, man. Make a move.
Let's absolutely do it.
Absolutely. All right. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Lots of Mariners talk today. We still will get to the Seahawks, though. Root Sports Jen Mueller going to join us at noon. She's got a ton of info behind the scenes, not only for this series, for the Mariners season, but we'll get back to this entire brawl and now feud with her. Also coming up at 1:30, Mariners starting pitcher Robbie Ray going to join us. He has been on a tear lately, as has the pitching staff as a whole. Right now, though, we're going to jump into a conversation about how potential suspensions could impact this Mariners team coming your way in just a few minutes.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Ooh, all right. Well, after that fight, we could now be, in fact, we'll surely be looking at some suspensions here. So as far as who could possibly get suspended, Jesse Winker, J.P. Crawford, and Julio Rodriguez were all ejected. Will all 3 be suspended? I'm going to go ahead and bet J.P. and Winker are. TBD on Julio, though, if he was ejected. And I guess, yes, also Scott Service. Something quickly about suspensions, our players can appeal. I'm assuming that all 3 players would appeal that were they to be suspended. But should Service be suspended, any managers and coaching staff have to serve that immediately. So no matter what, once those suspensions come down, you could see, Service or any other coaches immediately and then kind of waiting on players. However, we know that they're going to be in a bad spot, Bump, because let's just hypothetically say that Winker, JP, and Julio are all at some point out of your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have those 3. You don't have France. You don't have Haniger. You don't have Kyle Lewis and Kelnick's in AAA. Though a good question that we'll get to from a listener in just a couple minutes here about Kelnick. First, though, I'm not feeling great about those 3 being gone.
No, not feeling great at all. JP is your leadoff, the guy who gets on base. Ty France is the guy who's going to drive in some runs, maybe knock a couple home runs. Julio's going to do it all. He's going to go oppo. He's going to hit a bomb down center. And then you have Winker, who was just coming on, man. He had like 3 really good games. That's why it sucks for him to be out the lineup. So now you're looking at, okay, who's going to pick up the slack? And the very first name is the nicest looking guy on the lineup to me. It's Kyle Raleigh. He's been playing well. I believe this month he's batting over 200 or something like that, hitting some bombs. So guys like Kyle are going to have to step up. But there's another name that I think you and I both agree with that has to step up as well.
Who's that?
It's Adam.
Adam Frazier.
Adam Frazier.
Yeah.
He's got, the only former All-Star, right? This is why you are here, not for this moment specifically, but when this team is struggling, you need guys who have been there and who have done that to step up. So I'm looking at Cal. I'm looking at Adam. Step up.
I think those are the two perfect names to look at in this moment. Again, you've got Taylor Trammell, who's been playing really well for this team, but I don't know that there's any individual player of the guys that will certainly be there. Toro, Dylan Moore, where you're like, hey, this is your moment, guy. It's kind of got to be contributions from all of them. If nothing else, this pitching staff has to continue to perform at a fantastic rate. And unfortunately for the Mariners, the pitching staff has been performing, giving them very winnable games. And the Mariners' offense hasn't always been able to generate wins in return. That's been changing of late, but you've still got a couple guys here. From a listener, Bump, tell me what you think about this. Now, we were all anticipating that Jared Kelnick would be down, possibly for the remainder, certainly, of the Rainier season. From the 253, think any of this means Kelnick will come up?
He has to come up. If Kelnick is not brought up, do you know what that's going to do to that young man's mental? He was already angry a year and a half ago when he wasn't called up as soon as he thought he should have been called up. But he's down in AAA. He's playing some good baseball right now. And in this moment, it's perfect. He could ride in. You know what? Didn't service say no one's going to ride in on a white horse and save the day?
What if Kelnick is riding in on a white horse?
He's riding in on the white horse. He's going to save the day. You got to bring up Kelnick.
Curtis, are you willing to be or wanting to be a glass half empty person when it comes to Kelnick? Because there are some people listening who would say his development is more important than short term wins.
I know. And I have gotten on this airwaves here, these airwaves, and said you've got to keep Kelnick down in the minors no matter what happens this season. That's the best for his development. But we're getting to a point now where it's like they're going to have a tough time filling out this roster. You're going to see guys that are probably picked up off waivers over the next few days to get some spots. What if they trade for Mike Ford again? Like, that just seems the inevitable thing to happen. They're going to bring back all these guys that have been sort of on the fringe of the roster. But Kelnick represents the highest upside of any of these guys because we saw what a really good Kelnick can be, and that was what he was in the month of September a year ago. And he is hitting the ball well at AAA, as you would expect a top prospect to do. Am I going to be a hypocrite and say bring Kelnick up to play five or six games here to just fill out the roster as these guys go on suspension and come back from suspension? Yeah, I think I am going to be a hypocrite and say, you know what? You got to fill out this roster somehow, and you're in a spot where you can make up ground here. You've got two bad teams coming into your ballpark over the next seven games, Baltimore and Oakland, teams that you should handle easily. You just swept the A's. Baltimore is a team you took a series from earlier this season. There's no reason why the Mariners should lose to them, even if they're running their JV squad out over the next few nights. You still got really good starting pitching. You got George Kirby tonight, Robbie Ray going tomorrow. Like, there's no reason why the Mariners can't compete even without these guys.
Now, I have a real question because I've seen conflicting things in terms of the actual rule. Can they replace a suspended player with a player who wasn't on the roster at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They go onto the suspended list or suspended reserve list or whatever, and then you call up a guy in your place. Because if not, then the Mariners would be playing with like 20 guys.
Right.
And that's not fair.
Right. Especially if you're going to have minimum three guys suspended.
Yeah. So you can replace those guys on the roster.
Good question from a listener, though, because it's potentially forcing this team to look at an advanced timeline of something that they probably would have liked to be a little more drawn out, which is Kelnick and AAA. Do you see a change for that?
Kelnick, let me say one thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me say one thing. With this seed team that we're about to see, all right, I've been around sports a very long time, and every now and then the seed team does something you just do not expect. They go out and they play. They have no pressure on them. No one expects anything from them. And they go out and they do just enough to stay competitive until the dogs get back in the lineup. So, Mariners, this is what I do. Good vibes out there for you. Seed team, let's get it. Kelnick, lead the way. White horse.
Now, at least worth mentioning, tip to a listener for sending this in, is that Kelnick was not in last night's Rainiers lineup. He's not injured, is he? So, I mean, just out of the lineup. I don't know if it's a rest night. I don't know if it's precautionary, given, potentially calling him up sooner than expected. We'll see on that. Getting back to who remains in this lineup, they're going to face the Orioles. They're going to face the A's. In terms of who you'd want to face with a weakened lineup, I mean, those are two teams. I know that those two teams or any team could probably say that about you. But that being said, looking at the Orioles and looking at the A's is probably the homestand that I would want rather than, you know, hey, by the way, the Astros are back in town. Right. The Yankees are coming to see you at T-Mobile, and you're going to be playing with guys that would never normally see the field at the same time.
No, this is perfect. If there were a day to throw some hands and get suspended, it was yesterday because of the schedule that you have coming up. Now, how realistic is it that the Mariners win these next couple of series? I don't know. You know what I mean? The thing that we're leaning towards now is, one, you got to lean on your pitchers. All the starters are still there, right? Marco didn't get in the mix. Robbie didn't get in there. Logan didn't. Hopefully those guys were doing the Mike Trout and Ohtani just sitting on that bench watching this all go down. So you should be good there. You can get lucky. I mean, we've seen this team have some bats get hot. We've seen Dylan Moore get hot. We've seen Toro get hot. We've seen guys that you don't expect to get hot. So you never know. Is it likely? Probably not, right? Because these guys are starters in the bigs for a reason. But if you were to go out and play against a couple teams in this situation, I think you have the perfect teams to play right now.
Can I ask you guys a final question here as we kind of wrap this up? And we're going to get to a conversation about the Seahawks. We're going to talk about a Baker Mayfield rumor floating around. But we obviously are going to get back to the big conversation today, which is about this brawl, is about this series. The final question being, what would you say to someone who is like, this is bad for baseball, this fight's like, that they're really upset with both teams. They think like, this is, why are you celebrating this? Why are you talking about it?
It's not bad for baseball. It's really not bad for the Mariners, because I woke up this morning and last night and everyone's talking about the Mariners. The Northwest needs some more love. They're tucked away, so it brings some attention to it. And this is team sports, right? Things like this happen. People want to act like in reality there isn't any conflicts and tempers don't flare and things don't happen. They absolutely do happen. And now if you want to dive deeper in this, you can. It's a learning process, right? If I'm sitting there with my son, I'm telling him, look, man, if anybody throws a ball at you or he's coming at you, you better throw hands back or you're going to have to deal with me. That's just how I choose to raise my kids. Like, I know it's turn the other cheek and walk away, but at some point you are being tested as a human being and as a person, and they want to see how far they can push you. And things got out of hand, so I'm all right with it. Things like this happen. Square up, and
before
let's get over
we
it.
Go to break.
Yeah.
The dumbest person of yesterday was Raisel Iglesias.
Yes.
Just closing.
Yes.
Throwing,
I haven't gotten to him.
Throwing yes. seeds and gum onto the field. What point are you trying to prove, my dude?
I just loved, I think it was Sims in that moment, because the gum came second. And so at first it was the seeds, the call, any play-by-play of moments like this. And then it was like, oh, there goes the bubble gum.
Not the bazookas.
Absolutely ridiculous. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. All right, we've been taking a look at each and every position group for the Seahawks. Upon closer inspection, that is the theme. One thing fans should be excited about, one thing you're still nervous about. Taking a look at the linebackers next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, we've been taking a close look at each and every Seahawks position group. Upon closer inspection, one thing that makes you nervous, one thing that makes you excited. Sometimes we do one each, so it's really more like four things total. Sometimes we'll take a deeper dive on just two things. So today we are looking at the Seahawks linebackers. Let's start with something that makes you very excited, something fans should be very excited about when it comes to this position group bump.
Fans, you should be excited that Jordan Brooks is going to lead the charge. And, you know, Bobby Wagner, the greatest linebacker to ever do it up here, big ups to him. But he has prepared Jordan Brooks for this moment. 109 tackles last year, 23 starts total. And he just learned from Bobby. Another thing, I'm going to go two things to be excited about,
I guess. Sure, yeah.
Another thing is Uchenna Nwosu, man. This guy played in 72% of the Chargers snaps. That's 848 snaps. He has four passes defended, one interception, five sacks. So he does a little bit of everything. And when you listen to Staley, his former head coach with the Chargers, talk about him, the first thing I heard him talk about is him in coverage. And we know with this new defense, these LBs, these outside rushers are going to be asked to drop into coverage. So you have two backers at that second level who are proven. One, in Uchenna, who's played a lot of snaps, who's proven he's good in pass coverage. And then you have Jordan Brooks, a guy who is just getting downhill and will light you up. He plays like Bobby played his first like 5 or 6 years. Now, as you get older, you take some hits, you make some business decisions, you learn to be to work smarter, not harder. Right now, Jordan Brooks is like, look, I'm working hard. I'm smacking dudes. So those two guys at that second level, I'm really interested and excited to see just how they mesh together and then how Jordan Brooks leads this defense in his own style, not Bobby's style, in Jordan style.
There are two things that are different about the Seahawks defense this year, and both are applicable to the linebackers especially. Number one is that you're going to have a change in your base defense, going from a 4-3 with 3-4 principles to a 3-4 that's a little flexible in what they can do, but ultimately will probably look like a 3-4. Lofa Tatupu, on with us earlier this year, said that the old defense made it tough on linebackers.
Things were not as clear in this stick defense. It looked like it was a little harder to differentiate for our linebackers, whether it was run or pass, because it was such a soft line of scrimmage. And so, you know, in that case, you're guessing. That's what I'm going to attribute to, because I don't believe Brooks or Wags or any of these guys are, they're not taught that, and that's not really their style. I think it had to go hand in hand with some of the guesswork. And you're like, okay, oh, is this a run? You know, which, you know, what gap do I have? Because with Bobby, he's got a two-gap that with that nose on a lot of that stick front. It's tough duties if it's not clean.
The second thing that's different is that Jordan Brooks has that green dot. Here's KJ Wright talking about that change.
Jordan can be really good. Jordan,
really athletic, right?
Jordan is very athletic. What Jordan got to take the next step. I see Jordan has the green dot now. Jordan, you're filling in. You got to listen to the call. Mm-hmm. Deliver it to 10 other guys.
Tell the veterans to shut up.
Tell them to shut the hell up in a very loud stadium. Mm-hmm. You got to be everything for everybody and for yourself. And so I'm looking forward to seeing him take that next step with that green dot, being the mic backer, and running the defense.
All right, Bump, reaction to those two changes when you're looking at the linebacker group.
Yeah, the green dot, if for those of you who don't know what that means, that just means that he's able to communicate with the coaches or a coach to get the call in. So he's responsible for relaying the cost. And here's the one thing that I think is going to help him and that green dot is that he's got two veteran safeties on the back end. So once he relays the message to the secondary, the veterans in the back end, I'm meaning talking about Jamal and Quandre, they can communicate to the corners and make sure they're good to go. So if I am Jamal, I'm Quandre, I'm telling him, look, get us a call. We'll make sure you're good on the back end. You just make sure the box is good and ready to go. And then what do you say? Just how athletic that Jordan Brooks is. And then Lofa talks about how it was a guessing game. And you can see the guessing game, Stace, and this is how you can see it. Last year, there'd be situations where, at least from my perspective, I'm up in the box, I can see everything, so it's an advantage, right? Where Bobby Wagner's taking a hard run step when it's clearly a pass, right? Mm. So that's an example of things being a bit cloudy. That's what Lofa's talking about is, look, what are your keys? If the tackle does this, this is your read. If it does this, this is your read. So having some clarity on what they're seeing and how to react to it, I think is going to help that second level. And then you combine that with having the OGs in the back, Jamal and Quandre, communication should be a lot better this year.
All right, communication should be better. Jordan Brooks going to be your leader and your play caller on defense. Also, ideally, this defense makes it just a little easier and clearer for linebackers. Those are your two changes. Bump, you talked about the two things you're excited about and fans should be excited about. What are you still watching? What makes you a little nervous?
Now, this makes me nervous, but I think he'll be okay. It's just Cody Barton. He hasn't had a lot of starts. He's only had 5 starts in his whole career. So now he's going from, okay, I need you to fly down on special teams to make a play, to, look, you're every down back. You are in this mix. You're taking on linemen. You're setting your edges. There's so many things now that he has to worry about and do it week in and week out, to where sometimes it's easy to come off the bench. You've already set. You feel the flow of the game. You got a linebacker, he taps his helmet, Cody Barton runs in for 4 to 5 plays, and boom, now he's out. Now it's like, bro, you got to be locked in every single play. I think he can do it. I think he's going to be fine, but there's obviously going to be a learning curve. So it makes me nervous. It's more like I'm nervous because I'm more anxious. I want to see him do well.
Because there's question marks.
Yeah.
Even you haven't had it answered yet in the negative, which is a good thing. It's not like, oh, I know the answer, and the answer is he's bad. Any question marks will make someone nervous.
Yeah, you just don't know what you don't know. And being a every down, every single week type of guy that this team is depending on, it changes the way you prepare. Now, I think Cody Barton's going into the meetings. He's taking notes. He's paying attention. He's doing all that stuff. But he's also doing this knowing that, all right, when that first defense runs out there, I can sit back and kind of feel this game out. Whereas now, you got to throw the first punch. And Cody got that twinkle in his eye. He's going to throw that first punch. But I'm just anxious to see how he does it week in and week out.
All right, that was Upon Closer Inspection, something we're doing every single day, taking a look at a Seahawks position group. That one was on the linebackers. We've already taken a look at the safeties. That's going to be on Friday's podcast. I'm going to go offense tomorrow. We've gone 2 defensive groups. I'm going offense tomorrow, so we'll get back to this tomorrow. Coming up first, though, there's where there's smoke, there's fire. Another Baker Mayfield rumor. Don't go anywhere.